he's just the most active member of the MVP community you can think of. This is the man. He's organizing Cloud Brew in Belgium for the Azure user group. He's one of the team behind the wonderfully successful Global Azure Boot Camp. And he also, just for a laugh, gets involved with the Techorama conference, which is a great conference in Belgium. So welcome to Tech Days, Mike. It's a real pleasure to have you here. What
Thanks,
are you going to talk to us
Thanks
about
today?
Thanks
for having me, Rick. I'm very pleased to be here. Lovely England. It's not... I don't get that many outsides on the English side, so that's good. So thanks for plugging me there. It's very nice of you. Well, I'm going to talk to you about today. I will talk to you about where you can benefit as a developer on the application services in Azure. Okay. So app service, web apps, most of the time. Most of the open source developers start off by using web apps. And as Bilal in the previous talk mentioned, how you can move your PHP workload to the cloud, this is actually an extension to that, how you can monitor and actually can take a look and benefit of all the tooling that is built inside of Azure and the additional toolings like code, and so how you can benefit from those okay. where you want to do open source development. So will this be code only? No. This will be more on how you can monitor, how you can benefit from everything. In there, and that could be either with PHP, Node, whatever technology that you're fond of.
But okay, so it doesn't have to be .NET.
It doesn't have to be
.NET.
Exactly. It's monitoring options for everybody, and we're gonna put some tools in there that are not free. There's some tools in there that are free, but you can also gain from the basic things that are free that don't come free. Like you get the idea, you follow that, right? Like you have 10 websites, probably Bilal said that. I didn't listen to his complete talk earlier, but probably Bilal said that you have free websites, but they come with different SKUs and you can upgrade yeah. them. And there's for other services, there's also some free stuff that you can use, and that will change during the period that you're using your services. So from there, you could move on to a more adult and a more grown up situation. So and actually, you know what? You gave me a challenge yesterday.
I did.
You wanted me to do this as a musical. So the heaps are alive with my crappy coding. I think we can set it up by here because
that's
monitoring and troubleshooting your websites too. So crappy coding can be.
There you go, musical Mike Martin, folks. The MVP with the best voice.
Oh, so don't start renting me for your parties now yet. I'm not a mariachi or something. So enough of a fun thing. So you already mentioned it. I'm Azure MVP. I work indeed for Crosspoint Solutions, which I'm happy to be representing these days. We're doing a great job when it comes down to BI and CRM and all these solutions. So people, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I have a Twitter handle, people tell me that it is a source of big data, but more in a voluminous way because I tweet a little bit too much. But as you already mentioned, I'm also an organizer for the Global Azure Bootcamp, and I do want to stress it, 22nd of April this year. It's going to be the fifth time that we do it. I would love to see UK with a couple of locations on the map. You're already there for a couple, but mm-hmm. I want to see it grow up. So if you haven't done it yet, go and register yourself for a location. Just do it, global.azurebootcamp.net, and just register yourself.
Yeah, it's a great day, loads of free training, loads of enthusiasm about Azure, and run by, well, people like Mike.
Okay, so enough about me. Let's talk about technology. Here we go. So we all know this slide. It's Azure. It's vast, and open source developers can benefit from everywhere. Today we don't have any more the ecosystem that Microsoft is running as Windows as we know it. We can have application platform with Linux underneath the hood, and we'll also demonstrate that a little bit, show what the capabilities are there, to show the differences between the normal app service and the one on Linux, which is still in preview.
Okay.
But as you can see, there's a lot of things that you can benefit from as an open source developer. I mean, a lot of the tooling that is in the Azure namespace and in the Azure space itself is based on open source tools like AG Insight, which is an Hadoop implementation, mm-hmm. Spark, and all these things. But we're going to focus mainly on the application platform for now because it's already there in the large, and we only have limited time. So
true.
I don't want to go.
And it does, to be fair, tend to be people's first experience of Azure,
yeah.
where they start to move their website.
Exactly. So this, if there's one slide that can cover it all or should cover it all, it's this one that you want to reuse and want to take a look at, and also it has the full capability of all the regions in there. So feel free to use that. It's broadly available, but at least it gives you a good idea what the capabilities are of Azure today. So as Bilal also mentioned, he started moving his websites to PHP from on-prem, or I don't know where he came from, or from another provider. Who knows? It's movability all along. I'm talking about a small part here where you can use deployment, but most of the time it's about the code commitment and the monitoring and logging. So yeah, I'm pointing at my screen now, but it's the bottom part on the screen which is important. So the monitoring, log, and tooling is where you can gain as a developer for troubleshooting your applications, and all the tools that are built in, you actually already know them, but they're from time to time too well hidden. So maybe we can start explaining people how they can use it, and that's why I'm here.
Okay, I mean, it's that virtuous DevOps cycle, isn't it? Yeah. We publish our code through a managed process. We're taking the telemetry to improve that code, and we just keep going around the loop.
Yeah, okay. And and that's the downside. The monitoring, logging, and tooling parts at the end, after the deployment, is the most forgotten part in the DevOps stream. Mm-hmm. And we should focus a little bit more on that. And there's good tooling today, whether it's open source or whether it's built in, or there's so many things that you can do. But for now, we're just going to focus on the Azure platform, what is built in there, and where you can benefit from there.
Okay. So
let's first talk a little bit about the application platform itself. If you deploy web apps, so it's the Azure App Service, you can see it as a large server, and you can actually just build on multiple websites on there. So they all have their own application pool in there, and they just build up from there.
So if I take out an app plan in Azure, that gives me a virtual machine, and I can
basically
put more than one website inside
it's
that.
It's something like that, yeah.
Right, okay.
It's a little bit more complex than that, but basically it comes down to that. And today we can also have these in a Linux environment. So you can actually run them on a Linux environment, having a benefit from a Linux OS instead of a Windows OS. And it can run any kind of framework. It can run PHP, it can run Java, Python if you want to. Of course, the .NET and the .NET Core are also supported, so from there out you can benefit from whatever language that you like. So as an open source developer, you already have a lot of choices in there and flavors that you want to use. So if you're used to PHP 7, you can just use PHP 7 if you want to use the nice new bits. Yeah? So it's good to know that there are choices in the platform already. Also, when it comes down to platform choice, you can have 32-bit and 64-bit. Now, knowing that, this comes also with different SKUs that are in the different service plans.
Right, okay.
So that's also good to know. Traditionally, we do config files. And one of the things that are mostly forgotten is that we can set configuration files not within the configuration files, because that's proning it to a security loophole. Because if that would ever happen, get access to your files by means of bad things, like say people that left the company and they have bad intentions, and they still have their live ID. So, I mean, I don't say per se that Azure is a non-safe platform. It's a very safe platform, but if you do the social engineering thing, people can still access your files if you get to delete them. And if these files get out on the open, or you do the oopsie thing, like git committing your webconfig file, we've all seen that. Azure has this nice feature called the app settings and the connection strings that you can build into, and you can create app variables, which then can be called from within your code just by using those. And so that way you avoid running passwords and users in their connection strings in there in your web.configs or in your PHP config files, and you can benefit from those.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. Now, normally that's the thing that people easily find out. So if you want to know where you can find them, you can actually see that if you go to an app setting.
So I normally also tell people that the nice thing about setting this through the Azure portal is that if I change the slot, if I move from test to live, those settings move, so I can't accidentally connect my test to a live DB, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
So I can do the same thing if I'm running PHP or
Okay. That works for everybody. So if you take a look at the application settings here.
I was promised computers were going to get faster, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Scaling. As you can see here, there's...
So you've got your PHP MyAdmin extension version.
Exactly. Yep. So that's one of those things in there. If we do this demo, for instance, there's one for databases, for instance. It will show my password, but it's okay. It's just a dummy password that I use for anything. So if it will just go to my application settings here. And I do have to admit that the portal became better throughout the years. I think the port, as you can see here, there's site admin users. I can zoom in on this one. So this is site admin user and this is site admin password. So I can just go over there and just set those. And then from my code, I can actually just call these variables, which is making it far more easy.
So I can easily add a new setting. I can put the value in, and if it's specific to that slot, all I've got to do is tick the slot setting.
Exactly.
Okay.
Let's go back to my slide deck. Oh, here we are. So you can set them there and can change them in slot and per slot settings. You can also change them if you want to. And sometimes you're gonna need them if like there's a well hidden, well documented feature for caching on your slots. I'm gonna show you that, and that's one of the reasons why I'll bring this thing up. And it's actually been preferred by the team who mentioned it. So if I take a look at my, I need to go to another environment now. App services, and I think it was in, maybe this is a little bit slow, but you see in the dashboard, right?
Yeah.
Dashboarding is so cool. I'm gonna show that a little bit later, but dashboarding is one feature that I think everybody should gain profit from.
No, I agree. Interestingly enough, it's a feature that not many people know about either, and particularly that you can do shared dashboards for your
exactly.
team.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
If you do it correctly and you set it up nicely, you can really and just put it on a screen somewhere and just go from there. So if we take a look here at the application settings, this is a PHP site which is running in some of our websites. If you take a look here,
do you want to just make that a bit bigger?
Yeah, I will. I was about to. Here we go.
Getting old, my eyesight's not.
Draw the H card again. So. As you can see here, website local cache option, you can set that on, and that's a setting which you can, but you need to use it on slots. And website local cache sizing and B, so that way it will use a local feature cache, so that way your site goes a little bit faster.
Okay.
So that's.
I did not know about that one. I've learned something new today.
So that's the point of me being here. I hope I still can teach something to the viewers at home. If you do not find it interesting anymore, don't. Go away from Tech Days Online, stay online because there's more other great speakers coming. So don't leave just for me if you find me annoying. All craziness in the nutcase. So as you can see, this is a website _ local cache. So this is one of the variables that you can benefit from. And the platform will actually use this from a benefit point of view. So let's go back on that sizing, make it a little bit smaller, and go back to our presentation. So as you can see, I'll leave this just for the reading so that people can afterwards download the slides so that way they know where to find everything and now they can use these things. But as you already said, they can be in the web app settings. They can be used to switch in slot settings, slot specific as well now. So that's pretty cool.
And I think actually we're making the slides available for download afterwards as well. So
yeah.
Looking at Channel 9, Mike's deck should be available.
Somebody should be uploading it as we speak,
The presentation pixies are doing whatever magic.
So, okay, good enough. So, when we come down to publishing our websites, we have a galore of choice. We have FTP, and I would rather stress not to do FTP. I'm not an FTP fan, but...
no, I always think of, frankly, that list as being the top two are the developers working on the site and he wants to test it, and I'm comfortable with that.
But or if for an goes initial deployment, that will work too.
But if we're going to use that in production, somebody should be hurt.
Yeah.
for me, that web deploy is the sweet spot. But I have to say, I do quite like the way that they do integration now with Git.
Yeah, and not only Git, there's more hooks that are available. You can actually implement your own, and you can have more service hooks there. But if you can avoid, please try to avoid FTP and just do it by either automated deployment in your build cycle, just as you have seen in my DevOps slide. That's always a better way of doing it. Even web deploy, the tools are there, it's great, and if you're doing a solo project and you don't want to invest heavily in creating all these templates, if you're just a nighttime developer having your own site, then okay, but everybody can benefit from Visual Studio team services.
Absolutely.
Online for free. Why wouldn't you then benefit from those two and just auto-deploy it and check in, check out, and make your code builds on a proper way?
And indeed, the app services team have now made it really easy to set up that whole automated build and deploy with a couple of clicks. So
I'm not going to show you how you can hook that up, but there's another feature which I will show in a minute also, which is also somewhere well hidden.
Okay.
I'm talking in secrets now, but I'm working towards something in the end. So we'll find out about that. So automating website deployments, we have MS Build, we have FTP scripts, we have all the other building tools that you can use, Maven, stuff like that if you want some. FTP scripts, PowerShell, cross-command line interfacing, which is pretty cool. There's now a V2, which is based on Python, which you can download from GitHub, which has additional settings that you can use. Because a lot of things changed throughout the years. We went from ASM to ARM, and these command line tools needed to evolve too. So ARM now is default in the command line interface, which is for everybody. It works on Mac, it works on Linux, it works on Windows, and you can easily just connect to it and just a standard tooling which you can just say Azure website and give me my login.
I've got to say the CLI is not something I personally have played with, so that's probably
so
some
if
for
you
me,
are
isn't
a
it?
PowerShell guy, you can benefit from that too because you can use them in combination sometimes and you can do these things. But and of course you still have publishing from source control and set up a full CI/CD plan where you can just benefit from checking your code, making it build, having it failed, making sure that everybody in the team gets a beer because you broke the build, and then making sure that it gets deployed afterwards. And you actually see a nice flow going there. Right. So these are all your options that you have. Now, whatever tool you use as an open source developer, whether it's scripting, whether it's an expensive build machine that you use, like Jenkins or what's that other thing called? Can't think about it for the moment.
Jeff Puppet.
Those are configuration files. Yeah. But there's build service like Jenkins. What's the other thing called? Whatever. These can just hook your source control, build it, and just push it back. And there's options plenty.
Okay. I mean, the moral is we don't have to use Microsoft build tools and deployment tools just because we're using Azure.
Since you're using PHP or Node or anything else, you can just use your own building tools there too. So, talk a little bit about deployment slots. It's a separate web app linked to your primary web app, and you can actually make it switch as a staging slot, and that makes testing a little bit more easy. Also validating before you go to production. And if you do it correctly, you can actually set up a local Git on your staging slot, deploy from there, making sure that it gets tested, and then hook up your production with your deployment slot. So if you then check it back in. Yeah, Git is integrated.
So each time I do a commit to my Git repo, the staging slot sees that, gets the code, compiles it, makes sure it works.
Exactly.
And then I can swap that with my live slot to go live.
There's a great article on Monaco from 2 years back, which tells you how to set up a full CI/CD with just only online coding tools.
Okay.
And for me, Monaco is one of the. So if you don't know Monaco, it's what we used to call Visual Studio Online. So not VSTS, Visual Studio Online. Mm-hmm. It's the code name Monaco, which resulted into code and into App Service Editor.
So the code editor.
And Bilal already showed it because he edited a couple of files there. But there's more in there than just that. I'll show you in just a second what's in there for your benefit. Okay. So these slots, so make sure that, although do note that depending on the SKU that you have either half or not half slots. So you need to have at least, I think it's a standard that you need at least.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
But a basic and a shared, it doesn't cope with slots. So of course, it's a premium feature, it's an enterprise feature, so it means that you need to pay a lot for it, a little bit more for it. But then again, you can benefit a lot from it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So how it works is you just create a secondary URI, just go that way, use it, with staging, and it has its own runtime, it has its own URL, and you can just start testing away without any hassle. Stage publishing, as you can say, you can swap your staging and your production slot, and you go live, and if you still made an error, oops, it's just a flick of the switch and you're back to your own state. So this is where you can really benefit in time. Mm-hmm. And in also in means of downtime of your website, because that's business continuity is the key message here about the slots. It's not only about the ease of testing things, but if something goes wrong, you can easily flip that back.
Okay. And is that just a straight, I'm either going to live or I'm going to staging, or is there some way can I split the traffic or anything like that?
Slots? You can do A/B testing on there, and you can actually reroute some of the traffic, and that's also something good.
So I could say 10% of our live traffic goes to our staging slot. Really kick it around, and then
there's actually a guidance document on the MSDM pages that can actually show you how to do that. Okay. There's another MVP, if I can plug another MVP, who has a great talk about that A/B testing, which is Timo Tapanila.
Yes, of course, your team. Okay.
Yeah, if you want to see that guy, come to Techorama. So, publishing from source control, giving you the options that you have. Just going quickly go through the slides, and then I'll go into demos, demo galore. Publishing from the source control is you get your GitHub, you get your Visual Studio online, but you also have your VSTS. But you also have things like cool deployments like Dropbox and even OneDrive. I wouldn't prefer that.
You said by cool, we mean please don't use these.
It's not, you need to flip the switch itself.
Right, okay.
I'm not saying cool. I'm talking cool as in cold. It's a little bit different than going with a GitHub, because if you check in into GitHub, GitHub will kick off a webhook, which then goes to the Kudu engine.
Right. And you're going to show us that in a little while.
I'm going to show you that too, which will kick off the deployment of Git and the GitHub sources and start deploying it. And then you can actually see the workflow going from green to build it, and they can even go back to the previous build. And so together with the staging slots and the continuous integration, you can have some leverage there too when things go wrong.
Right.
All right.
To be fair, I think it's worth saying that things like maybe Dropbox or OneDrive might be a good way if you've got a marketing team and they want to get some assets on there, then that's not too bad because it's something they're comfortable with.
But still, they should be using Git or something. Yeah. And even if you're doing websites today, actually, PHP is a good platform for doing open source development, but also if you're doing Markdown files and use Ghost or something, which is an awesome platform for even CMSing, it cannot basically go wrong because it's Markdown, and in your site cannot go down due to faulty JavaScript code or something, because most of the time it's just content that they're delivering. So people like those can benefit from more than just, you know. So it's nothing more than that. Cool. So now we're getting to the real interesting stuff. So you have a lot of, how should I say, toys for deploying, and these are all cool, and Bilal already showed you that. But what if things go down? You have to start diagnosing. And this is where a lot of people don't know that they have a lot of tools in the portal, inside of the command line tooling, in Visual Studio, but also hidden behind the portal. And this is where that Kudu thing comes in. And also some other hidden sites, which are now being gradually moved to the portal in new blades. I'm going to show you that in a second. Okay. So first of all, we have site diagnostics. And you can generate these only if you have a paying SKU, so not in the free one. And why do you need that? Well, you need some cloud storage there, you need some additional CPU power and some processes that are running. And it used to be an extension on app services.
Okay. So
that used to be a DAS extension, a diagnostics as a service. And that was the first implementation. And the way it works is still a little bit the same, and I can actually show you that it's still the same, but it exposes differently now through the different portals. So what we got here is we can either use our log files on the storage that you have inside of the app service itself, or you can put it on blob storage.
Okay.
Now, if you want to do streaming logging, which I'll also explain in just a second, you need to have at least file system logging, because also it will not be kicked in.
Right.
So I'll show you how to enable that, and you can enable it through ARM if you want to, and you can enable it through, but I'm just going to show it graphically, because that's okay. makes more sense for now. Also, web server logging, you can either do that to the file system or Azure Blob Storage. You can do both, and what it does, it moves it to a kind of a shared cloud drive, if we talk about the file system, which is attached to your website, mm-hmm. and where you can benefit, and you can actually browse through if you want to.
Okay.
You can also have the detail, which you can specify, whether it's verbose, whether it's just information or just errors, or you want to go deeper into something there, and even drill down to some at some certain level, just like you would do with a normal IIS. Okay. And that would be file system only. You can also do failed request tracing and FRIP logging, so that's also there.
Okay.
If you're an IIS man, you know what I'm talking about. So. Next to that, we have the locations where you can find them if you are using Kudu or you just want to go through FTP, because you can just access them through FTP and just go to these locations and download the files. But sometimes it's better just to go on the website itself and take a look there and use the streaming. And as you can see, there's the traditional way of logging is being taken over from just Windows Server.
Yeah.
Or in a Linux way, there's also a logging environment where you can have a similar way like you do in an Apache web server. Okay. So that also works. So there's an event log, XML, unhandled exceptions are being put there, and there's some things that you can actually take out from there and generate some nice reports if you do it correctly. Also, application diagnostics logs, you can put them either in file system, blob storage, or table storage. Table storage is fairly easy to query. And just use some link statements, for instance, with setup data management tools, if you have one of those.
Okay.
Also worth looking at. You can just do that from Storage Explorer now and have some looking at. So that's a free tool. You don't need to pay anything, and it works on every platform. So if you use it on Storage Explorer, they were lacking a tool for managing storage, and we had that in Visual Studio from the beginning, not as extended as Storage Explorer is today, which now they re-implemented in Visual Studio somehow. So today we have Storage Explorer where you can just log into your storage account or just your subscription. Go into the storage. We can do snapshotting of blobs since 2 weeks, which is very nice for us IT pro guys. And we can just start creating our table storage from there. So that's a tool that you need to remember. Again, the logging level here is the warnings, the information, the verbosity that you can have. So live streaming is very, very cool, because that way you can open up another browser, open up the browser of your portal and take a look at what's happening in real time. So you do put a request and you will actually see the request pumping out in live streaming and seeing, oh, there's something wrong there. And then you can immediately start thinking, oh yeah, it must be that or must be that. And then you start diagnosing your things. So you don't always have to look through your entire log file. You just can do your live streaming. It takes some CPU power, but if your site is already in peril, sometimes it's the other evil that's, you know, you have to make the choice between the lesser evils. So there's still support for that. You can have a log streaming from within Visual Studio, directly attach it, and you can see the log streaming from there. Also from the command line, and some plugins with code can also do some stuff there. But it's very cool, and it writes just to a TXT file in the log files directory, and you can just take a look at the benefits there. So that brings us to actually the basis of every diagnostic thing, which is Kudu. And do you know what Kudu is?
I'm going to say yes, because I guess being an Azure MVP, I probably couldn't. But it is fair to say, Mike, that it's something I always have to look up how to find it.
But I got a trick for you.
Go on.
So now today, Kudu can be found in the blades of your Azure portal. But as you noticed, I created some dashboards earlier. And as you can see, they are fairly easy to create. And I, let me just check that I'm in the correct environment. That should be this one. If you take a look here, you can see that I created a little bit of a small table with my websites. If I just zoom in a little bit, you can see actually it's websites.
Okay. So you just added a tile to your
yeah.
Azure dashboard.
And that's just Markdown.
Okay.
So from there out, I can just go to my website, or I can just go to my Kudu environment, or even to my app service environment, because everything relates to that Kudu thing.
Okay.
So, and if you want to find your Kudu environment, it's fairly easy. The only thing that you need to remember is your website name in Azure.
Okay.
.scm, source right. control management, or what is it? I think it was source control management, if I'm not mistaken,
okay.
.azurewebsites.net. So it's just a subsite of your environment. You just need to add .sm. Just
okay.
need to remember
I
that.
Just need to remember
yeah.
that. Right.
And once you have that, just create a small Markdown file, as I did here. As you can see, it's fairly easy. Just a content, just Markdown, and just click on it, and it will open your Kudu file.
Right.
And now we're here, you can actually take a look at Kudu and where we can benefit from there. So what we have here, we have all the environment information. What are we running? How are we running it? And in the past, I don't know whether you ever did PHP or something, but if you wanted to know what...
Way back in the dim distant past, I might have done.
If you wanted to do something related to what version of PHP I'm running, we had to do something like this. And I'm going to just quickly open up a new... window, which is the app service environment. I'm talking about into depth a little bit more, and Bilal already showed you a little bit. What we can do here is can create a new file, call it phpinfo.php, and we can then just go to, and I'm gonna,
copying and
cheat,
from
cheat
no
a little bit.
Yeah,
up, voila. Don't do anything, and just go to our website. Open up a new tab, paste it, remove the information and the SCM, and it will be created as a PHP info site, and it will give you all the PHP information.
So I didn't see you save that file, Mike.
No, I didn't. So that's the beauty of it. It doesn't. App service editor doesn't need to be saving. It uses the same technology as they use in OneNote.
So
it saves immediately. So from creating mistakes or avoiding saves, right? And that's the beauty of it. I mean, okay, PHP info is useful when you're doing PHP and you get all the information, but Kudu actually, and for some reason my mouse died on me. Come on, don't tell me that you, yeah, all right. So Kudu also gives you that information on the PHP environment and everything else. You can take a look at the app settings here, and that's all. That's the reflection that you have in the portal.
Okay.
You can see the deployments that are there, and as you can see, this is JSON that you get back. It's small print, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
Also some source control info. And if you take a look at the environment, you can actually see which environment we're running on. We're running on a 64-bit system. We have the OS version, which is NT 6.2. We have all these system settings.
Okay.
So, and even on the PHP level, there's a lot of information to be found.
It's reflecting back those settings that you were showing
yeah,
us earlier on
exactly.
for the slot.
So
okay.
that's a cool thing. Now there's another thing that which is very useful, showing what is running. This is Process Explorer. This is just a little bit like doing a task manager opening and showing which environment is running. And as you can see here, I'm running here a W3WP environment, which is your IIS, it's web publishing. But that can be easily be a, if we take a look at the Linux environment, because I also have one of those, my Caterpillar is kind of in the way. I can just go to, where is it? Here we are. This one. There's a website on here. Quickly going to show that. Come on. Where's the apps that I have? I forgot the name of the app, so sorry about that. The wrong one. All right. forget about it. But there you will see that we're actually zooming into an Apache.
Oh, right,
we're actually doing a Bash or an Ubuntu style.
So we get a Linux style.
Exactly. So the tools that you know from those operating systems can be used. So you can do a DC dump and you can do a dump and all those things. So if we go back into our export, how can I do this? I mean, I don't have a console. Well, actually you do. You have a console and you have a PowerShell and a command line.
Cool.
And the cool thing is if you're doing PowerShell, most of the commands work, except for some specific things like AD and stuff, those won't work. But if I would do just to do a git process, for instance, you will actually see that it will show me all the processes once it's finished doing it. So it's just like a command line, it just works. It even goes a little bit further because, as you can see here, on top here, there's a kind of a file explorer and the root of our site is over here. So I can just go here. Did you even know that there's a hidden feature once you drag in a zip file, it will automatically unzip it when you hover it over?
I did not know that.
So that's, again, if you want to do quick deployments of images or packages that you need to deploy to your PHP site, you just drop in the zip file.
And I'm guessing from the icons on the left that I can also edit files through that and I can download
Files
if I need to
The, if I do this, do I have a zip file here somewhere? No, I don't think so. I should have prepare something in there, but just thought of it right now. But it actually shows you where to unzip it and just do it like that. And you can indeed edit some files. So if I were to say I need to create a new PHP file, I would just do, okay, let me just say, infodd.php. That will create me an empty file. Voila. That will create me an empty file. So if I take a look here.
Yeah, there
here we are. Here we are. So we can edit it from here and just start doing our thing.
Okay.
So I would just say, control, you know, not this one. I just would say the same thing as the PHP info, for instance, I would create from there. Now that's pretty neat. Mm-hmm. Now, I was talking about diagnostics. So if we take a look at the diagnostics folder, we can just go back up.
Shall I just make that full screen, Mike? And
then sorry about that. So we can go and go to the diagnostics page, for instance. We have some settings here. We have some deployments. So if we take a look at one up, we got the log files here. And as you can see here, we got all our rep logging. We have our, and we can just start using Notepad or anything else and download the files from here immediately, and we can do that. Now, this may be a little bit more manual work. I need to hurry up, so it seems.
We've got loads of time. Seven whole glorious minutes.
So if we want to do a little bit more, we can actually have a full page doing diagnostics. And this is one of the more hidden pages, which is called the support page. Now, this is gradually being fully reflected to our blades in the portal.
Okay.
But this used to be DAS runners. And DAS is this one. So if we take a look at the Kudu site and we take a look, it was already open, so let me go back here. Show it. Come on. This used to be an extension. Oh, it's not here anymore. It's already killed off. Oh, it's okay. But DAS Runner XA was an extension on Kudu,
which you could plug in. Yeah, process
exactly.
And, right.
So this thing, what we have here, we can do observations on our sites, and we can switch the websites that we want. So we can just go to our web pages, and you can see that there's. Yeah, I didn't do too many runs on that WordPress environment, but if I were to say this one, for instance, you will see that there's hopefully a little bit more data, as you can see, and you can actually see where there was errors and average requests. So this is a graphical way of showing some information, but you can also do an analysis, and this is cool because if you do this, you can get all these dumps, memory dumps, log files, PHP error logs, and it will actually generate you a report in an HTML viewable way, so that way you can analyze it a little bit easier.
Okay.
I have one here which actually shows you, I think it's over here in the As you can see, it's well.
So as long as I remember the Kudu icon, I can find
the Kudu icon is just is just a Swiss Army knife, and it's actually your full Swiss Army knife that you can use. So if we take a look here at the Process Explorer, at the tool support site, you will actually see that there were some issues in the past, and that we have the loggings. Come on.
We definitely need to give the Azure Pixies more caffeine.
Yeah.
No,
it's okay. That's the downside, because if you have multiple tenants, it has a tendency to go wrong sometimes. So it will pick
the wrong directory.
So it's this one.
See, I thought I was a member of a lot of directories.
No. It's that's the downside of being a popular Azure guy. Oh, you get access to all the come on. I want to show this. Come on. No, not here. Where is it? Where is CSPS? This one.
So all of this is sort of inside Kudu itself.
Yeah.
At what point do you think I should step up, if you like, from the diagnostics and telemetry that's actually in websites, and maybe look at some kind of monitoring and telemetry system, like maybe App Insights?
App Insights is way more than just diagnostics. It's also usage. It's also things like getting browser information, things like that. Mm-hmm. And App Insights also works for your open source. So there's plugins, if you're WordPress developers, there's plugins for application insights, and the only thing that you need is your application instrumentation key. And I can actually show you that if I close this thing.
So I know if I'm using .NET, for example, just by turning on App Insights, I start to get telemetry from the app services.
Exactly. And I will demonstrate you this. This site is actually running the plugin where you can benefit from it, and it's just it's an open source thing that they're doing on GitHub, so you need to download it with Composer and Packagist. You can then pump it into your application, your PHP application, or whatever application you want, for whatever flavor you have. There's also one for Java going on. And as you can see here...
Is that the equivalent of using the App Insights SDK with my .NET app, that I can then start doing custom telemetry?
Exactly.
That kind of
and this is what they did with the Application Insights plugin. So you can see here that there's a server usage. You can see that there's an alert here. Also, the app map and all the querying tools that you have from Application Insights are available. I mean, one of the cooler things that you have is the analytics thing. Have you ever used that thing?
I have, yeah. I mean, the fact that I can see who's looking at my site, where from. I think that the thing that I find really nice on that is that if there are errors,
I can
plug that straight into Visual Studio.
Exactly. You can replay it. And even if from an open perspective, you can also benefit from there. You can take a look, deep drill into your code, and actually you can see to a certain level where your code is running dry.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool.
I think that's a really important message, isn't it? That we can download the appropriate SDK for PHP, for Node, for whatever, and still take advantage of all these tools.
Yeah. So, and one last thing that I want to say is, if you've seen Kudu now, there's another tool that you need to put some love in, and it's probably Monaco, or what we call the Visual Studio App Service Editor Online, which is actually the forefather of code, Visual Studio Code, because it's actually the same basis that they use from it. They designed this thing to make it sure that it would work on open source. Because actually, if you can take a look here, I can show you that you can do a PHP, PHP info, and this should be,
I didn't realize there was a console on that.
There's a
you
console.
Just type command straight in.
So there's a console here, and you can actually, and it has IntelliSense. If the Pixies are willing to work with me, I can just go to phpinfo.php and just run that, and it will actually give me the info. And then I can just go to my streaming media, analytics, and it will show me the output in my stream. So I just need to show you that very, very fast. I told you you should keep ahead of me. Here we go. So this is where the alerting and this is where you can see the log stream. And actually, if you get a request, you can actually see what's going on there. You can see the log streaming. And whatever request I'm doing, you can actually see it. So all these things are either hidden in Kudu, hidden in the portal, well hidden, but you have all these tools. So there's no excuse anymore to debug your website.
Okay. So I need to start in the blade, look for the Kudu icon, work my way through from there.
Yeah.
Everything's available to me if I'm an open source dev, all of the telemetry and diagnostics within app services. And if I want to then, if you like, step up, I can use App Insights or other telemetry tools with my app.
Exactly.
Well, that's been great. Thanks very much, Mike. We're going to take a short break. And afterwards, we have the marvelous Raina Stropek is going to I believe, an entirely demo-driven session on using Docker and containerization to bring your open source and .NET projects into the cloud. Don't go away now.